B3. Number 8B.
Yes. So, we have to think about this two translation again a little bit and see what it implies. If we take the first translation, we see that that translation through the seven synonymous terms translate the divine principle to the point of mind as manifesting the divine idea. That by itself would be enough, really, if we would not consider what effect it has on the human. Only when we ask what effect this has on the human, we take in the second translation. But that's only under the condition that we say, how is the human affected by the divine idea? And then naturally we see that we translate it to the human, and when we translate it to the human, the very first motion that the human always feels is that it is brought in line with God, which means to be brought in line with God is naturally the approach to God, which is the Genesis order. So, actually, the first translation, which could end just with the manifestation of ideas through mind, is now considered from another standpoint. We leave the standpoint of God, the divine standpoint, and ask ourselves what is happening to another standpoint, namely to the human standpoint. So you can see that we are changing the standpoint at that very moment. And then when we ask what is the impact on the human, or even more, what is the impact on evil, on depravity, on the first degree, then naturally the awakening out of evil beliefs is always an awakening that says, let there be light, let there be something higher than evil, and that is always the word order. So that Genesis order applies only how the human mind reacts on the Christ translation, only that way. Therefore, if we are not asking that second question, therefore, if we stay on the throne of grace, on the throne of God, and look out from divine principle, how the divine principle translates itself to the point of idea, then I see only the manifestation of ideas. And if I stay then on that throne and don't change my standpoint to the human, if I stay with the divine, then what do I see? Then I see Christianity. Then I see that the divine principle constantly translates itself to infinitely individualized ideas. And I get the realm of ideas. And that touches at once, when you have the realm of ideas, that touches at once the standpoint, the divine standpoint of Christianity. So, if I do not change my standpoint, then the Christ order always leads us to the order of Christianity, right away to Christianity, to the third side of the Holy City. Can you see why? Shall I repeat it in other words? In other words, if you sit on the throne of God and rule as a king in its own realm, you see that king has power, has relationship to the whole kingdom. gives to every situation in this kingdom its authority, delegates its authority to every point in that kingdom. No point in that kingdom is not under the authority of that king, so that everyone in that kingdom gets an individual authority, an individual place what to do. Either he is a minister, not a minister, what you call them?
King or priest?
No, not a priest, just a...
An administrator,
say, huh? What are these people called in America that are in the government and have a department?
Bureaucrats.
They are, yes.
Secretary?
I don't know how they call. We call them in German, Miss Minister. But that's another term than your minister. Yeah. Well, he delegates her to the first place to this, and they delegate it further, and then finally you have all the workers, and they all have to pay taxes, and have to do their jobs, and so on, and everyone is under the control of that king, of that central power. And nothing happens except it is being delegated to that point. So that's that delegation to every individual point is really the Christ activity. But what you get, if it's infinitely individualized delegate, you get the whole realm, you get the kingdom. And that kingdom is the activity of Christianity. So if we translate it into the purely spiritual, that's always better than when one takes a human symbol, we can see that that divine principle, so to say, is governing every detail in the kingdom. And so because every detail is governing the kingdom, you have a whole realm, you have a kingdom. The king has a kingdom. And so that is at the point of Christianity, where we then consider the realm or the universe of ideas and ask ourselves, what is that universe of idea? What relationship can I see in that universe of idea? What laws are ruling in the universe of idea? Can you see, I don't ask anymore what is the relationship or the laws from principle to idea. Then I ask, what is the relationship and laws from idea to idea to idea to idea to idea? I get that's the Christianity. It's the realm of ideas. So, in this way, the Christ translation of the first translation, not the second, the first translation itself, leads actually to Christianity. But if I see, as we have seen, the Christ translation to the point of idea, and then I change my standpoint and say, what does that do to its opposite, to evil beliefs, to depravity? What does that do? Then that's another question. Then I say, well, that begins to work on depravity and begins to overturn and overturn until it comes whose right it is, until the third degree appears, until the spiritual identity appears, until reality appears, and the appearing of light out of darkness is always the word. It's the Genesis order. Are you with me that is the word, the Genesis order? That when you come out of darkness into light, and something says to darkness, let there be light, let there be unfoldment, let there be identity, let there be government, let there be exaltation, let there be consciousness, let there be perfection. All that let there be is the light coming to its opposite and bringing out the true light. That's the Genesis process. Yes? Did we do that all right? Okay. So we know now
more and more can we see, can you see how important it is to have categories and to be aware of categories? If you are not aware of categories, then we say, well, Mrs. Eddy says that at the end of the Christ translation you have the word order. So the Christ leads to the word order. And we have made a great mistake. We say, yes, it does, but only under one circumstance, that we combine one category, the divine standpoint category, and combine it with the human standpoint category, then it is so. If you don't do that, then the Christ order leads to the Christianity order. Yes?
How long have we been speaking now about that translation? I think I started out this morning, did I? Or already yesterday? I don't know. We were discussing one page of the textbook for 4 hours intelligently, so I think, because we were discussing it according to categories constantly, not to what we think and to what we may think it is, and being sidetracked by terms and by single terms, but by thinking in categories. Can you see what we found out? We found out a lot today. Huh? That's why I started and said, well, in earlier times we also read this translation and we didn't know what to do with it. The result of it, the enlightenment of it was equal nil. Huh? And now we suddenly begin to realize that this is a very, very complex idea, that many, many laws can be drawn from it. Can you see? This is now the point, a very short sentence. Never forget that sentence. Can you see that thinking in category is creative? Do you see that? That thinking in categories is not just memorizing something or repeating something, but to be able to understand categories and think in categories, those categories begin to reveal something new. Didn't we find new insight compared with what you knew? You knew quite a lot already about that translation from earlier readings and classes, but compared with that time when we were not able to think in categories. Can you see why Mrs. Eddy says, science reveals? What does that mean, science reveals? What is science? Is science a mystical concept somewhere which says, I can reveal? Or is science that we can think scientifically? That's science, huh? So if we can think scientifically, we know that reality and symbol are then the same, namely the idea of science, and that the moment we can think scientifically, that has within itself the power of revelation, the power of being creative. It reveals to us something we were never thinking about before. Could we also, with this simple example here about the translation, see what really science means? Therefore, we, so to say, never get to the end of the textbook, so it's only 600 pages, and one can read 600 pages in a few days, but we read it for a whole lifetime, because if we can read the text of the textbook through scientific text interpretation, then that means read it through categories, then that textbook reveals and reveals and reveals and reveals all the many things that are not spelled out black and white in the textbook. Yeah. Is that clear too, or would you like to have a further statement on it? Yes, Mary Frances? Good. Very good. She was asking me that I was just speaking about when we think scientifically and think in categories, that I use the term thinking, and if that is different, then when we were discussing the metaphysical thinking and science, well, the difference is, again, this, that we have seen when we went through that chart on the 8 steps up to God, and then the descending way from the I am down, that we could see there that at the point, you remember, at the point 4, 3, 2, 1, that we could see that if we go out from science, that translates itself to us as scientific thought, as scientific thinking. See, so scientific thinking naturally is that builds on science itself, namely on the category of science itself first. That's why I said if we think in categories, that's only scientific thinking, because the infinite one has these 3 categories which translate themselves down, where my consciousness is also cultured in those categories, and therefore then thinking within me is to be thought by science, by mind. I think then in categories of being. That's scientific thinking, whereas metaphysical thinking is different. We have seen if we think metaphysically, we go out from our human concept of a problem, and from there then try to think to the idea behind the problem. So the source of thinking in metaphysics is our own thinking, whereas in science, our thinking is that which has come from science itself, from the categories itself, and I'm not allowed to think the way I like. I'm not allowed to think at random. Scientific thinking means that my thinking must be dictated and formed by the categories of science. Did I answer well enough? Good. Well, it's a good question that clarifies quite a bit. And I'm glad we had taken there that 8 steps up and down, because on the way down we said, well, then God is the thinker. And we said that God thinker begins to think me. And as it begins to think me, I can only think good. And therefore, I am what I am being thought. Yes? Cognitor, the passive form, cognitor ergo sum. I am perceived, I am being thought of by God, therefore I am. What the man thinks in his heart then, that he is. But only then. What the man thinks in his understanding of science, that he is. That's his true identity. Yes. We have another few minutes left. How much have we left? 8 or 9 minutes. All right. I take those 8 or 9 minutes and recapitulate at the end of that whole subject on the Christ. I recapitulate quickly the Christ on the level of divine science, absolute Christian science, and Christian science. That vertical where we started out. You know where I am? Just go back to the chart, to the model of being. Well, actually, you know it by heart. Where is that model of being? 63. Page 63. Yeah. That's the model of being, what we used to call the chart. And you see there the vertical called the Christ in divine science as the one truth, in absolute Christian science as truth, life, and love, in Christian science principle, life, truth, love, soul, spirit, mind. So if we get a good sense of the Christ in the chart, we have laid the foundation for the whole Christ consciousness. Naturally, afterwards, we can see more shades and shadows of the Christ. What is the Christ as the Word, the Christ as Christ, the Christ as Christianity, and so on. But first, we always should start with the great categories. And here we have that great category of the Christ. And the question that has been asked last Sunday that we should consider again once, what is the Christ, what is the Christ idea, what is the Christ translation? So we have discussed that for many hours, and so finally perhaps we can round it up by summarizing it quickly by going through that vertical. It means that these symbols are a symbol of reality, and that therefore in consciousness we should contemplate that spiritual reality which is called the Christ. And so we can ask ourselves, what is that consciousness that I can entertain if I entertain the Christ? What goes on in my consciousness? So if I am faced with a problem, with a bad problem, with discord, you know that we put it into the corner and don't look at it anymore. That we turn around and say, only God knows the answer, that's the Word, but also only God can give me the answer, can translate that answer to me, so that I begin to understand what is the answer. Isn't that our fundamental attitude? So, I build up within my consciousness, therefore, first the Word of God, through establishing in consciousness that God is mind and spirit and soul and principle, life, truth, and love, as you have learned it in the classes, as you have seen it through the ideas of the seven synonymous terms. But then comes the point where we begin to realize that that God translates itself to us, and that actually that God translates itself to us in a harmonious way, in an easy way, if my consciousness goes along with that translation. Therefore, if I establish in my consciousness also the Christ translation within me, then the influx of the right idea is easier and is harmonious, without crisis, without a lot of trouble. So what do I entertain there as the Christ? I begin to see that God has a Christ. That's always where I start, say, God has a Christ, not I have to have a Christ, I person have to has a Christ. It's God that has a Christ. What is that Christ? God says to that Christ, you are the big ideal, my great ideal, namely you are the one and only truth that is the Savior and that is the answer to every situation. And I build up in my consciousness that there is only one truth, the truth of all truth, that that truth is self-affirming itself, self-claiming itself, that it is a knowing that it knows, that the truth knows what the truth is, and is not blind towards the truth, is conscious of itself as the truth. And so I fill first my consciousness with the Christ in divine science as that self-conscious truth. Then I go along and translate it to the level of absolute Christian science, where I begin to realize
but that that one infinite all truth that is conscious of itself as a whole should really translate itself to the individual answer, to the individual truth. Or I'm not aware of what the individual situation is and how I can heal it. So I begin to see that that truth translates itself in absolute Christian Science always to the adapted situation, through truth, life, and love. So I fill my thought with that one truth that says, I'm the truth that knows all truths, small t, because that truth is life, and that truth therefore wants to individualize itself, does constantly individualize itself, does constantly express itself in infinite truths. But I would like to see that I learn the specific, adapted truth of the situation, so I begin to see that that truth and life is of the nature of love that brings infinite adaptation, that brings the consummation of the right idea. That is that which knows the need and therefore will meet the need because it's of the nature of love. And I get a very nice feeling that love is at the helm, that that love wants really to bring me salvation and the true idea. And so if I stay there, perhaps there comes in a motion within me that says, but does that actually translate itself in spite of error? Does it really come to my consciousness as that which reveals itself? Or am I close to the influx of that translation? And so I better go to the level of Christian Science, because now the question between truth and error is under consideration. And I say, I go and flow now consciously with that translation. Then there is no more an opposing thought there. So I go and take that Christ order and say, well, that what absolute Christian Science has established, that the one truth is infinitely individualized and brings about through love the adapted idea, that is my authority, that is my principle. From that principle of truth, life, and love, I go out and see therein lies the whole potentiality to bring to me the idea that I want. Because that principle as life wants to express itself and does express itself as dynamic power. That principle is truth and therefore knows the truth and wants to bring out the truth and will deal with all opposition. That principle is also love. It wants to save me. And I go along that terrific love that forces every situation to accept the right idea. And I say there is nothing that can stand in the way, because soul translates the whole of that terrific law right down to the relative sense. Without that, anything of the divine law gets lost or is limited. And that will, in my consciousness, bring order. It will sort out what needs to be sorted out. It will begin to bring order into chaos, and so spirit is at work ordering and purifying everything, so that in my consciousness there is nothing else but the idea of mind, the image in mind, and that image in mind has no image of mortal mind. And so I have established really how there is nothing that can oppose the Christ translation. So the idea comes to me. That's the Christ.